Let's read from the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now let's look over at chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and eternal Word. I come this morning to celebrate Christmas. I come to celebrate Easter, and I come to celebrate Jubilee. I have to tell you, I'm glad the Corinthian church existed. I'm glad God sent us 1st and 2nd Corinthians so that we have a window that we can look into a first century church. Because sometimes as we look back over the centuries, we tend to think that we live in the awfulest church time that ever was and that they didn't have any problems. We've sort of got rose-tinted spectacles and we look back at the first century church and we say, oh, if I could have been in the apostolic church, it was perfect. Well, I don't know if it was or not. There were people coming to the altar when Pentecost fires weren't even cold yet, telling lies to the apostles, being struck dead by the Holy Ghost. We have people who were trying to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. Simon Magnus up in Samaria was trying to buy the Holy Ghost. We have people in the Corinthian church, one man who had his father's wife and was living with her, still coming to church and putting on a show. Well, we've had some bad things. We never have had that, thank the Lord. We had people doing all kinds of things. If you read the Scripture, you're going to find out that the people in that century were about as rotten as people are any other time. And people now are not much different than they always have been. Human beings have a problem. They are sinners. They're lost and undone without God. And you say, what's this got to do with Christmas and Easter and Jubilee? Well, I come every Sunday, not just this Sunday. I'm sad some people come in December to celebrate Christmas. Some people come again in April or March, whenever it falls, to celebrate Easter. And some people never celebrate Jubilee because they don't want to think about it. You see, my friends, I come this morning to celebrate Jesus Christ coming to the world. I didn't come to celebrate religion. I didn't come to talk about religious things. People at Corinth were off track. Now, this is a spiritual church. You can't say it isn't. Paul said they came behind in no spiritual gift. I mean, they had it all going on down there. And then they overflowed, and then they went ahead and did more than what the Spirit would have them to do. So they got a religion problem in the church at Corinth. They're interested in which preacher's the best teacher, which preacher's the best preacher, and which group do I belong to? Do I belong to the Paul group or the Apollos group or the Peter group? Which group do I belong to? The church is all divided up in factions and things, and they're talking about their religion, and they're concerned about their religion more than they are the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul writes to them and said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with men's wisdom. I didn't come to you with fancy speeches. I came to you determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he goes on to say in the 15th chapter that the gospel that I preach to you is that Jesus came into the world, Jesus died for our sins, Jesus rose again, and is coming back again. Hallelujah. Now, my friend, that's the gospel. We get all bogged down, and which committee's going to do what and which part's going to do the other. And we get fractious and frictious about it sometimes. We do all things. We're concerned with religion. What we need to be concerned about is the Lord Jesus Christ. I come this morning to celebrate Him. He came into the world. He was born. My friend, do you realize what that means? God could have sent His Son down from heaven any old way He wanted to. He's God. He is God Almighty, told Abraham. He could have sent Him down. He could have burst the skies open one night, and Jesus Christ, full grown and full manhood, could have stepped out from heaven and descended down and come with a great sword and just whacked people and done lots of things. But He didn't choose to do that. He didn't choose for Him to come that way. God chose that His Son would come into the world as a man. And He came the way any other man comes into the world. He came as an embryo in the womb of a woman that grew into a man-child and was born with pain and blood and water and all the other things that go along with a birth. He came as a human being. And anyone that denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is a liar. And what else? An antichrist, the Bible said. Jesus Christ came as a human being. He came born of a woman, had to learn to walk, had to be diaper trained, had to learn to talk, had to learn to read and to write, and to do all the other things that anyone else does. He grew up as a human being. He was raised as a human being. He lay on Mary's lap and suckled at her breast and received His nourishment. There were no bottles or infant male in those days or anything else. He lived and was born like any other baby. And the scriptures tell us when John is writing his theological treatise in John chapter 1 that He was the Word of God and He was made flesh. Now, I hear people try to explain that, and you're silly to try to explain God. You don't have enough brains if you were Einstein to explain God. You don't have enough brains if you were a half a dozen people to explain God. Scripture said, Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Well, I have to tell you, if it was a mystery to the Apostle Paul, I want to know who you are to explain God. It was a mystery to him how that God could come into the world as a little baby. But He did. And I have to tell you, that baby laying in the manger was God, and that man on the cross was God, but He was as man as much as I'm a man, tempted in all points as I've been tempted. I mean, He had to grow and learn and go through all the things we do. That's more than you can explain or I can explain, but I have to tell you, He was born of a virgin. I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't believe that. Do you know that? Because if you don't believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, you don't believe who He is. You don't believe in the real Jesus. Do you recognize that there are whole denominations in this country that don't believe that Jesus Christ ever was a real human being, that He actually died on the cross? They just don't believe it happened. Well, I can tell you it did happen. And we studied Islam this week in Wednesday evening, and they don't believe He ever died. They don't believe He was the Son of God. They say, well, God could never have had a son. And God's a holy God. He couldn't have had a son. I testify to you this morning that the baby Mary had was the Son of God. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I will tell you this, God did not come down from heaven and physically have intercourse with the Virgin Mary and cause her to have a baby. That didn't happen. There's a whole denomination of millions of people that believes that that happened. It didn't happen. The Holy Ghost come down from heaven and caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The scripture said He is God in the flesh. When He came, He said His name would be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. But He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in any great, wonderful place, not even in a good hotel. He was born in a barn, and His first bed was a manger, and He was laid where the cows ate. My friend, He was wrapped in the claws of swaddling claws and laid in a cow trough to eat, and He lived a human life. He went through puberty. He learned to be a man. And he lived his whole life for 33 years as a young man. Tempted in all points as we are. But he lived, and I testify to you, a sinless life. He never thought sin. He never spoke sin. And he never committed sin. Tempted in all points as we are. That's my Christmas message this morning to you. I'm telling you, Christ was born of a virgin in a barn, laid in a manger, grew up as a little boy, learned to do all the things that people have to learn to do, and grew old to 33 years until he was killed. Now, I'm going to preach you my Easter message. I want to tell you, Christ died. There are people who don't believe he died. I mean, whole denominations of millions of people who don't believe he actually died. I want to tell you the Bible said he died. He died. He died a physical death. He knew what it was to feel the agony of death, to feel the fear of death coming on. You say, oh, he didn't fear death. Then what was he doing in the garden praying three times in a row? If there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Is there any way that this cup can pass from me? Is there any way this can be true that it can't come? And three times he got the same answer from God. Somebody said, oh, I'd like to have an answer from God. Well, he got an answer from God three times. And all three times the answer was no. There is no other way for anyone to be saved except that Jesus died on the cross. That was the only way that a human being could be saved. And my friend, he died on the cross. In fact is, you say they killed him. No, they didn't kill him. He gave up the spirit. He dismissed his spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He died on the cross, and I have to tell you, he was innocent. He had committed no sin. He had committed no crime against the temple or the Jewish state, and he had committed no crime against Rome. He was an innocent man. He was railroaded to four or five kangaroo trials during the night. He was whipped with a stick, beat with a cat of nine tails, touched with a whip, had a crown of thorns put on his head, had his beard plucked out of his face, had people spit in his face and ridicule him and talk to him bad. He was dragged through the streets of Jerusalem with a cross on his back that was so heavy he was so weak he could not carry it. And when he got there, they made fun of him and ridiculed him. A dying man hanging on a cross was ridiculed and made fun of and loathed by the people that passed by. Said, if you saved other people, it looks like you could save yourself. He died on the cross. My friend, before sundown that day, because the Sabbath began, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and took his body down from the cross with the help of others, carried it across a little ways there in Jerusalem, and Joseph had a new tomb that no one had ever laid in it. They wound him in the winding cloths and put the spices in it and laid him on a shelf in the tomb. And the Romans came and rolled this great stone and sealed it shut and put a seal upon it and set a guard around it 24 hours a day. But I have something wonderful to tell you, my friends. On the third day, he arose. Jesus Christ, somebody a while back said they found a skeleton in Jerusalem and it had places where he'd been crucified where they could see the nails went through the hands and the feet, and said maybe this was the skeleton of Jesus Christ. I said, not his, it's in heaven. He's not in Jerusalem. He hadn't been in Jerusalem for over 2,000 years. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God our Father Almighty making intercession for us. And he sits down on the right hand of the throne. And my friend, he's coming back again. I have to tell you, my friend, he was sealed in the tomb in 3 days. The soldiers guarded. But that one glorious Easter Sunday morning before daylight, an angel came down from heaven at the brightness of the noonday sun, and the soldiers fell to the ground like they were dead, and he rolled the stone away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that we could see in that the tomb was empty. I tell you how all this started. One day I was working outside this week, and I got to singing. I don't know how many of you have a song in your heart, but I generally have a song in my lips and a song in my heart. And as I was singing an Easter song. And the song I was singing was this. Lo, in the grave he laid, Jesus my Savior, waiting for the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And my friend, that's the central thing of the whole business of the universe. If Christ had stayed in that tomb, he wouldn't have been no more than Buddha or Muhammad or anybody else. My friend, you can visit all kinds of places where religious men died. You can visit all kinds of places where heroes' bodies are laid to rest. My friend, you can visit an empty tomb in Jerusalem, but you can't see his body there, because on the third morning he arose, my friend, with a glorified body. You say, was it the same body that hung on the cross? Oh, yes, my friend, with nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and a spear print in his side and prickly places in his crown, where he was laid to rest with the wounds of his agony and of his tumor. And my friend, I want you to know something. When he arose from that Judean hillside that day and went across the Milky Way and into heaven, and he stood before the throne of God the Father Almighty, he opened his hands to see the nail scars, and he let his feet. That's why he goes barefooted in heaven, so you can see where the nails went through his feet, my friend. And I believe that when he stood there before the throne, that the robe pulled back and they could see his riven side where the spear went in. And Jesus Christ opened his hands and his body, my friend, to God the Father Almighty. And you know what? There was a propitiation made at that moment for the sins of Eddie Kendall. My sins were covered at that moment. Jesus stood before the throne and made intercession for this old boy because he was a sinner. Yes, up from the grave he arose and he lives. Hallelujah, my Savior lives today. He's not a dead relic. He's not a dead anything, my friend. He's alive and well and standing in heaven and glorifying God through his body. My friend, Jesus said, I live, and because I live, you shall live also. You see, friends, I have a future today. It wasn't just Jesus. You say, well, he's the only one that rose from the dead. No, he's the first one to rise from the dead. He is the first fruits among many brethren. My friend, he was the first to rise from the dead in a glorious resurrection. But my friend, when he did, he guaranteed it in the bag that every one of us who are saved, bought with the price of Calvary's flow, covered with the seal of the Holy Ghost. My friend, every one of us are one day going to have a resurrection like his. We're going to rise from the grave in a glorious resurrection at his call, like he called Lazarus from the grave. My friend, he will sound the trumpet one day, and the Lord will call from heaven, and we will rise. You see, my friend, I have a future today. I know whom I have believed. John said, in John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. My friend, I'm going to die once. I'm sorry to say there may be people here today who's going to die twice. You're going to die and go to the cemetery or the crematory or wherever you go, and then you're going to die a second death one day as you stand before God in judgment. But thanks be unto God today. All the death I've got is a bodily death. My spirit has been redeemed. And one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to redeem my body. And I'm going to be brought before him, my friend, not for judgment, but for rewards. Hallelujah. You see, I've preached you my Christmas message and my Easter message. And now I'm going to preach you my Jubilee message. And you say, what's the Jubilee? Well, in the Old Testament times, there came a time every 50 years. Every 7 years, there was a cycle that went by and they had a Sabbath. But at the end of 50 years, there was a wonderful thing happened. It was the year of Jubilee. That's where we get the word Jubilee, by the way. The African slaves down in the Southland many years ago latched on to that word. Some of them learned to read and somebody preached the gospel to them. And they looked in the Old Testament and they saw that there was a year of Jubilee coming. What happened on that year? My friend, on the year of Jubilee, every 50th year, wouldn't you like for this to happen? Every debt was canceled. Every debt was canceled. People didn't go in debt very far. You know why? Because the creditors were going to lose everything they had in the 50th year. Every 50th year in the Jubilee, every debt was going to be canceled. Every slave was going to be set free. Every piece of land was going back to its rightful owner. Everything was going to be set right. And the land was going to lay fallow for 1 year. And the poor could go out into the fields and into the harvest and into the orchards and into the vineyards. And they could gather all that they wanted on that year, but you couldn't gather it yourself. You know what that did? That set everything right. My friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ said, I am coming again. I go away, but I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. And somebody said, oh, that's when he comes for you in death. No, my friend, that's not when he comes for you in death. We may like to say that Jesus came calling and all of that, but my friend, the Bible said, I heard a man say on the radio the other day preaching that death was not an enemy. But I have to tell you, my Bible said death is the last enemy that's being destroyed. If you don't believe it, you go around and see some brokenhearted people I know that's got an empty place at their table and an empty seat in their house, and you'll know that death's an enemy. And my friend, it breaks hearts and it tears up homes and it tears up lives, and it's an awful thing. But one day, there's a day coming of Jubilee, my friend, and there's not going to be any more death. Every captive of death is going to be set free. Every body that's ever been captured by death is going to be set free, because Jesus Christ is coming again. And he says, behold, I come quickly. The angel said when he went up to heaven, and they were all standing there looking and watching him go up, the angel said, well, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you saw go away is coming again in like manner. My brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, if you read the Bible, you'll find the stories that Jesus told toward the end of his ministries was stories about a landowner going away but coming back to see what had happened to what he'd given. He came back to see what they'd done with the talents. He came back to see what was going on in his kingdom. He told those stories to illustrate to them that a bridegroom was coming to get his bride and to take her away. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that you're not in an aimless quandary of history. We're not just wandering around, wondering what's going to happen next, wonder what's going to be the end of all of this. I do wonder sometimes what's going to happen to the United States. I wonder what's going to happen to the economy. But I can tell you, I know what's going to happen in the end. Jesus Christ is going to step out on the portals of glory, and God our Father is going to give a command, and Gabriel's going to blow his trumpet and put his foot on the land and sea and declare that time is no more to be. And my friend, every grave of the saints are going to be opened, and they're going to be translated into heaven with their new bodies, their spirit. You see, we looked the other day at the scripture, and it said that Jesus was coming and would raise the dead, and it also said his saints he would bring with them. Well, how's that going to be? The spirits of just men made perfect waiting under the altar in heaven right now, crying out, oh Lord, how long till we come? And he said, wait just a little longer. You thought we were the only ones singing, wait a little longer, please Jesus. But Jesus is saying to the saints in heaven, wait a little longer, it's just a little while, and then we're going back. And my friend from heaven, he's going to bring them back with him, and their bodies are going to be resurrected, and we're going to be translated to be with him. Wow, hallelujah. My friend, we're not just wandering around in space hoping we don't blow ourselves off of the universe. My friend, there's a place and a time appointed by God our Father Almighty, and he's known it from the beginning when that day is and when that time is. And when that day gets here, the United Nations and the United States and all of our armament cannot keep it from happening. Jesus will come again. Jesus will come again. You say, what until then? What shall I do? Until then, what's going to happen? Well, until then, he has sent the Comforter to set up his church on the world. And my friend, he's working. You say, what's he working for? He's getting up a load to go to heaven. My friend, God is working to get up a load. And you say, is he going today? I don't know. He might. I might go today. And he might come today. But my friend, he's asked us only one thing, to be ready when the hour comes. That's all he's asked us to do. I testify to you, Christmas is a true story. Jesus was born of a virgin. He is the Son of God. He is divine. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. He grew up as a man. I testify to you that Easter is a true story. He died on the cross, was laid in a borrowed tomb, resurrected the third day, and ascended up to glory to make intercession for the saints, for us. And my friend, He's coming back again. And there's going to be a year of jubilee. Every debt's going to be made right. Every level place, every high place is going to be laid low, and every low place is going to be made high. And everything's going to be made right. My friend, every slave is going to be set free. Every human being is going to be redeemed from the earth and stand before God. And my friends, if you've made the judgment at the house of God, you see, judgment begins at the house of God. And if you've come to God at the house of God and repented of your sins, let the blood washed of Calvary flow over you and wash your sins away. My friend, you're saved. Hallelujah. And if His Spirit has come into your life, and you couldn't be saved except the Spirit come into your life, my friend, you can go be with Him. I ask you today, if you're not sure today, if you don't know for sure that you're washed in the blood, there's power in the blood, my friend. Don't start telling me what you don't know what all I've done. I don't care what all you've done. My friend, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Not for part of the sins, but for all of the sins. Not for part of the people, but for all of the people. And whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. As they come to sing, "Lord, I'm coming home," I would ask you today to turn your heart toward God and let this Holy Spirit touch your life and draw you to Him. How you need the gospel of Christ. If you're not saved, my friend, you don't need $1 million. You need salvation. If you're not saved, my friend, you don't need a home in Bel Air. You need a home in heaven. You need a deed to the mansion in glory. And Jesus has come to pay the price and to give it for you. I celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Jubilee every time I come to the house of God. Will you stand? Father God, in the precious and wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, our Savior, I come into Your presence today, Lord, and I ask You to touch this congregation. Lord, make us appreciative, not of religion, but make us appreciative of salvation. Father, help us to not get sidetracked into religious things like the Corinthians did, but help us to keep our eye on the goal. Help us to be looking toward heaven. And God, if there's a soul here that's not saved this morning, will You touch that soul that will come to Christ and receive salvation? If there's a backslidden person here this morning, may they be touched, God, to give their heart fully to God. Lord, if there's any of us that are slacking off or not doing what we ought to do, teach us, Father, that the time is drawing near. And Father, I pray that we as a church can be a sanctified group of people to do the work of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, I invite you to come for prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. We're glad you're here this morning. Invite you to come back, especially come back next weekend. We'll have more than just me next weekend. Hallelujah. And we pray that God will be with you. Don't forget the service this evening. Father, we thank you so much for the service. Thank you for your blessings, your mercies, and your grace. Thank you for all you've done. Pray you'll be with us now and sanctify us and use us to your glory. We ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen.